Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Warid Ahmed, and we've got a packed show for you today. Firstly, we're going to be discussing how Huda Kattan has taken full ownership. She's reclaimed full ownership of Huda Beauty. Secondly, we're going to be discussing how Mubadala has been recognized as the most active sovereign wealth fund in the world. We're also going to be discussing how this ex-Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri has launched the Abu Dhabi-based AI investment firm. And finally, Kuwait Investment Authority has joined a $30 billion global AI infrastructure fund that is also backed by Microsoft, MGX, and Elon Musk's xAI.
The very first story, the biggest story yesterday, there was a very funny story behind this story that it got leaked. Everyone got an email that we'll publish it at 5 or 5:30.
And then you have Vogue Arabia that just went ahead with
everyone just started publishing it. No one cares about embargoes nowadays, I think. But Huda Kattan has officially taken back full ownership of Huda Beauty. The Dubai-based entrepreneur has bought TST Consumer Partners, regaining 100% control of the brand she co-founded in 2013. This marks a major milestone in the evolution of one of the world's most influential beauty businesses.
It indeed does. And basically what she had to say was, taking back full ownership of Huda Beauty is a deeply important moment for me. You know, in actuality, you have all the power you need to change the world yourself. And the company now enters its next chapter with Huda Kattan as co-CEO, very interestingly, alongside her husband, Christopher Goncalo, and her sister, Alia Kattan, continues to lead its social strategy.
And the deal ends at 8-year partnership with private equity firm TST Consumer Partners, which acquired a minority stake in 2017. That deal had valued Huda Beauty at $1.2 billion at the time in 2017, placing it among the most successful beauty startups globally.
And I, you know, this is very interesting because it actually comes as Huda Beauty very recently announced the sale of its ownership stake in Kayali, the fragrance renowned brand co-founded by Huda and her sister Mona Kattan, to U.S. investment firm General Atlantic. Now, this deal basically allowed Kayali to operate as an independent company, with Mona Kattan continuing to co-own and lead the brand independently away from Huda.
And born in Oklahoma City to Iraqi parents, Huda Kattan began her journey as a beauty blogger. Frustrated by the lack of quality false lashes, she launched Huda Beauty with her sisters and turned it into a global powerhouse, now selling over 100 products and generating hundreds of millions in annual sales. Very interesting story.
Look, I think with this story, it's just really signifying to me that Huda is for sure a perfectionist.
Yeah.
For sure a control freak. In the best way possible, though. Because I remember I was watching this interview of her sister, Mona Kattan, on the Chris Fade show on Virgin Radio. And basically, she was telling them about how everything that she does is, like, on her calendar. No, like, magic. Absolutely everything. From her meetings with clients to board meetings to quite literally spending time with her family.
Nice.
And cuddles with her husband. No, seriously, everything is on her calendar.
It's on her calendar.
And what I can, you know, from hearing that and also analyzing Huda Kattan, founder of Huda Beauty's nature, you can see that there is so much that goes into their brands. That's why it's so successful. You know, they've done really well for themselves. And, for me, I find it really inspiring because the three sisters started Huda Beauty together, I believe, in 2013. And you have Alia, you have Muna, and you have Huda. And, you know, it's crazy because it was actually Muna, by the way, Majid, that actually told Huda, see, Huda, you have great talent here, makeup skills, you have great eyelashes, turn it into a business, I'll find you investors. So it was truly a family-led business, and I think the fact that she owns it 100%, it tells me she does not want anybody making the decisions for Huda Beauty's future direction.
Yeah, and money-wise, it's really interesting because when they sold the stake for Kayali, to General Atlantic, actually they used that money to buy TSG out. So it's a very nice family thing going on that Mona, her brand.
Very carefully
Mona,
planned.
Yeah, and it's very nice that they know business inside out. They know where they should put their money, where they should take their money from and put it. Very nice allocation of assets, very nice allocation of finances. And it shows they've matured into business women that people aspire to now.
But this, but it's that magic. You know how you're saying they matured into businesswomen? Yeah. This is what I love about those sisters so much. They hold this facade that is very like feminine, blush, sparkle, glitter. Like you would not think that they have this much level of knowledge and this much, you know, strategy and intelligence, but they do, and they hide it. And I think that's what it's all a part of the brand, is to be more relatable, you know, be more for the girls, for the woman, like, let's do our makeup together. And you saw the images of her.
Yeah, I've seen her videos as well.
but you see her makeup, and by the way, like, okay, this does link into this, but recently this with makeup, this trend of like natural makeup, no makeup came into play. And if you actually take a look at Huda Kattan's face and her sister, they never changed their makeup. It's a full beat, full foundation, full blush. They never changed with the media. They never changed with the times of let's put on less makeup, let's look like makeup, no makeup.
Yeah.
They stuck true to themselves. And I think that's why the brand
is
doing this.
More than
so
staying
well.
True to themselves, they have to put all their products on because they're the models for their brands, I think.
But they've always
and
been
if
like
they
this,
don't put
though.
Makeup, if they do less makeup faces, no makeup faces, and all that, their sales are obviously going to get affected. So if I am selling, let's take Himantra's example. If I am selling Himantra, which is nice, nourishing water.
You got to be running the beach.
I need to show people. If I am the face of the brand also, I need to show to the people that, oh, look, I'm drinking. So that's I think it comes with if you're the face of the brand.
Mm.
If the brand itself has an identity, then you don't need to do it. Then you can go with any trend.
Yeah.
But if you are, as a founder, as a co-founder, as a starter, the face of the brand, you literally have to carry
you're
the brand.
You're right. And the fact that she wears so much makeup, I feel like I need her.
She's basically
her
marketing
powder.
Her own products
you're
through
right.
everything.
And by the way, you made such a good point because, you know, this kind of links to this. Just very recently, Hailey Baldwin, she sold Rode for $1 billion to e.l.f. Cosmetics, and Rode was founded 3 years ago. And Rode, it's a makeup brand, but it's also a skincare brand. They make these like milk toners, like light blush, and Hailey Baldwin, she has such a makeup, no makeup, natural look, and it does come with the products that she's selling. You know, what's interesting is that the founder of e.l.f. Cosmetics, and I did not know this, he's Indian, Majid.
Nice.
I did not know this whatsoever.
Indians are taking over everything.
They really are.
One of the sovereign wealth funds that's doing great and taking over literally everything, and the person in front is everywhere. That's Abu Dhabi's Mubadala Investment Company, and they have clinched the title of the world's busiest sovereign wealth fund for the month of May. According to Global Sovereign Wealth Fund, Mubadala struck deals worth $2.6 billion in a single month, marking a standout performance among global sovereign players.
So this latest milestone, it follows such a strong, you know, year 2020. Basically, it follows such a strong moment in 2023 that they had, where Mubadala surpassed Saudi Arabia's public investment fund to become the top sovereign spender globally. So it was responsible for 20% of nearly $136.1 billion in total sovereign deal activity last year.
And the man steering Mubadala's global momentum, the man I was talking about, is CEO Khaldun Al-Mubarak. Beyond his role at the fund, he serves as the vice chairman of AI firm MGX and is best known internationally as chairman of Manchester City Football Club, where he's played a key role in the team's rise to global dominance.
So looking ahead, and I think that this really is a deal breaker, and it signifies how important Mubadala is that they're actually going to spearhead the construction of Stargate UAE, announced just very recently with Donald Trump's Gulf visit to Abu Dhabi. And it's expected to be the world's largest AI data center outside of the United States. Now, they're also collaborating with OpenAI, Oracle, NVIDIA, Cisco, and Japan's SoftBank. And it's scheduled for completion by 2026.
And with Khaldun al-Mubarak at the helm, Mubadala continues to position Abu Dhabi as a global player, not just in finance, but across AI, tech, sports, whatever you can name it, Mubadala has a stake in it right now. The funny thing is, with Mubadala, it's the most visible sovereign wealth fund. Because you and me, if you talk about the last 2-3 months, ADIA is actually the most richest sovereign wealth fund in Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. It has nearly 1.2, 1.3 trillion, there is estimates.
And they just have $330 billion.
Yeah, and you never see ADIA in any news or doing this and that, but still they're the richest. But Mubadala, with Khaldun al-Mubarak, the funny thing is, he's literally in every picture. Stargate UAE, he's in the picture. The line that Trump shook hands with, he was there on the third place after His Highness Mohammed bin Zayed, the president's brother, and then another person I completely forgot, and then Khaldun al-Mubarak.
Oh, Jensen Huang was there too.
No. Yeah. The when he came out of the airport, there was a line of Emiratis standing there. Mm. So as soon as he came out, he met them. So His Highness Sheikh Thanun was the first one, sorry. And second was His Highness, the President Mohammed bin Zayed's brother. And third was Khaldun al-Mubarak. And then the U.S. ambassador to UAE, she was there. So the whole list, he's always there. And since Mubadala is part of G42, it's like co-investor with, I think, another company.
G40, oh, yes.
So G42 is a mixture of Mubadala.
They made MGX together. Yeah.
So it's very funny that Mubadala is literally everywhere, but still they're at 330 to 400. Again, estimates, but they're there. And it's the most visible one. I don't think we've done a story on ADIA in the past 3 months since the start of the year. We haven't done a story on ADQ a lot. ADQ does a lot of energy acquisitions and all of that. They're not really interesting. They're very boring business stories, like this acquisition, that. But ADQ, the latest big news that we did was they took over Aramex. And that wasn't even ADQ. It was a subsidiary of ADQ which took over Aramex. So, again, very well done job for marketing Mubadala. You literally see it everywhere. If Mubadala is not there, Khaldun al-Mubarak at least is there. Imagine at FIIA, Khaldun Mubarak went from here. At the Davos conference, Khaldun al-Mubarak went there. So he's literally everywhere. And I love this guy for this.
Was it him who basically said that we're not gonna be getting taxed?
No, that was the economy minister of UAE, another interesting guy. But he was the one, Mubadala CEO.
Is it Mohammed Al-Marri? I think it was.
His name was Marri. I don't remember the first name, but yeah, most probably Mohammed Al-Marri. He's the economy or finance minister of UAE. The funny thing about him, the most interesting thing in the last speeches, he said he has an AI. They have in Mubadala an AI chatbot or AI assistant or someone who sits as on the board seat. So if you have like 12 board members, one of them is an AI software that they use.
I still don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah. So he said that without that input, if there is a board meeting or if there is any kind of meeting and they don't include that AI model, LLM, I don't know what that is. He just said AI board member. If they don't include him, he says, I don't go to the meeting. Because I want that input whenever I'm making any decision regarding finance.
This is what I mean. If he said that, then you know that this is a very strong character.
Yeah.
This is a very firm character. Like, I do truly believe that when Elon Musk, you know, phoned all of those G42 executives to tell them, please, you cannot do UAE Stargate without me.
Like, XAI,
you know,
yeah.
I can't be left out like that. I thought we were friends. There's no confirmation if it was Khaldun who responded. The scoop was done by Wall Street Journal. But if that man is speaking that way, then you know that he not only is he heading the company into such a successful track record as he would like to describe it, but you know that this is a person who is standing very firm.
Yeah, and from that person to another person led story, former Lebanese prime minister Saad Hariri is setting his sights on the global tech industry, this time from Abu Dhabi. Hariri has launched an investment company named Genesis SPV Limited, officially registered in Abu Dhabi Global Market, or ADGM, in late May.
So according to ADGM filings, Hariri is listed as the sole shareholder of the new firm. So while the venture is still in its early stages, people familiar with the matter say Genesis will focus its investments on the global technology sector with particular emphasis on artificial intelligence, according to Bloomberg.
Yeah, and though representatives for Hariri have declined to comment publicly, the launch marks a deepening of his relationship with Abu Dhabi. After stepping away from Lebanon's political scene in 2022, which is very recent, Hariri has made the UAE capital his primary base of operations now.
So in recent years, he has taken on a more strategic role in the region, emerging as a close advisor and gatekeeper to His Highness Sheikh Tahnoon bin Zayed Al Nahyan, who oversees one of the world's most powerful investment empires, valued at $1.5 trillion.
And the launch of Genesis SPV aligns closely with Abu Dhabi's broader ambitions to lead in artificial intelligence. And the city is already home to major AI players like G42, MGX. If you listen to the show, you would know these names by now, by heart. And Hariri's new firm could soon become part of this growing tech ecosystem. And it's very interesting. A former Lebanese PM has chosen Abu Dhabi. We always do these stories. Richest man in Nigeria brings his family office to Abu Dhabi. Naguib Sawaris, the guy who started Monify in Dubai, his brother Nasif Sawaris' family office is in Abu Dhabi. Literally every family office is trying to set up something or some part of it in Abu Dhabi.
I think, you know what, honestly, this tells you? It tells you how multifaceted the Lebanese people are. I remember I was at this event. I won't say where this event was, but I met this really great marketing manager, Majid, and she was Lebanese. And she was just telling me about her career progression. You know, she was a very famed journalist, turned into PR, and she was like, you know what, next year I might just go run for minister in Lebanon. And I'm like, wow, you guys are really all the same. I even know a really close family friend. They used to work here. They were director in a famous company. Then go to Lebanon, become a minister. I think it's a very interesting trend here.
It holds true. What are they saying that what's that called? Master of one. Joker, what's that? How does it say? Joker of, not Joker.
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all
trades.
Master of none. But I recently saw a movie and there was two guys having a conversation. And one guy was telling the other guy there is a continuation to it. And I was like, never heard of it. So it's Jack of all trades, master of none, but better than master of one. And I was like, okay, weird. Makes sense that you know a lot of things, but you're not just a master at one thing. And somehow if that one thing gets taken away from AI, which we've seen a lot, an update on Microsoft, 400 more people, one of their branches in US, they fired 400 more people. Every day there's like 200, 400, 300, somewhere getting fired. If you're a master of one right now, I think it's very difficult to survive. I remember I was giving my IELTS and this was the exact same topic which she told me to speak on for 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, what do I say? And I remember I had to argue for it. And I kept saying, oh, this is jack of all trades, is better, blah, blah, blah. And then she asked me, and after that, 2 minutes of whatever you say, they ask you questions. So it's kind of a discussion. And she said, why do you believe that jack of all trades is better? I was like, because if you're a doctor and you don't have good communication skills, the patient is lying on the table and you don't know how to talk to them, soothe them, make them prepared.
Oh my God, I remember it was Muhammad Al-Abbar, founder of Ahmad Properties, said that in a speech. He said that, you know, with a patient, like they're gonna die. I remember. Oh no, he said that with a patient, they're gonna die if you're having a 3-minute meeting.
Oh yeah,
he can't start. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
But again,
just flashed.
I think every field now in the world now, right now, needs you to have extra skills. You're an engineer. Okay, you're great at 3D drawings, renderings, and buildings, and everything. But you need to have communication skills, leadership skills. You need to have, I don't know, AI skills now as well. So yeah, jack of all trade works, but don't be a master of one in this age. There's AI. You can literally learn anything within 2 to 3 days.
Yes, you can.
And more AI, news. Kuwait has officially entered the race for global AI dominance. We always talk about UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Oman also, because Oman also joined one of the AI initiatives. But Kuwait has officially entered the race. And the Kuwait Investment Authority, which is like PIF, the Public Investment Fund, and the Sovereign Wealth Fund, we just talked about, is one of the world's largest sovereign wealth fund with $1 trillion in assets. And I was reading, it is the oldest sovereign wealth fund in the world. So it's
that
the first
really
ever. Yeah, and has joined, it. Basically KIA has joined a $30 billion artificial intelligence venture that includes some of the biggest names in tech and finance.
So the initiative has Microsoft involved, Elon Musk's XAI, Larry Fink's BlackRock, NVIDIA, and Bhavabi's MGX among its key partners. Now, while financial terms were not disclosed, Kuwait Investment Authority becomes the first non-founding financial anchor in the venture, marking its first major investment into artificial intelligence.
And the joint venture aims to raise $30 billion in private equity to develop global AI infrastructure. Sources close to the project say the funding could eventually leverage up to $100 billion, making it one of the largest coordinated AI investment efforts globally.
So Bhavabi's MGX, one of the founding partners, is backed by Mubadala Investment Company. Now, what this move does is that it really does cement the UAE's ambition to position itself as the leading hub for artificial intelligence. And now they have Stargate UAE that is coming up that's going to have 100,000 NVIDIA chips.
And meanwhile, Saudi Arabia also stepping up. Its public investment fund recently launched its own AI company called Humane. Again, I will say, whenever I take the name, I will say it, that it's a very nice wordplay on the word human, and has signed deals with NVIDIA, with regional powerhouses now fully in the AI arena. The GCC's next major frontier is clearly digital and AI. And Kuwait coming in, it was really interesting. As soon as I saw, I was like, Kuwait, we don't really talk about it much. They don't do much. Then I read $1 trillion. I was like,
no.
PIF is nearly $1 trillion.
You know what? You say you don't do much, but they honestly do. It's just the media coverage is limited. There is probably a lot that
they don't have a good
here.
Marketing team on a national level.
Probably. But you know what it is with this entire $30 billion AI infrastructure fund? It seems to be very silent, Majid.
Yeah.
Very silent, very unknown. And I think the fact that you have this $1 trillion powerhouse that is working with Elon Musk, working with Larry Fink. I'm really excited to see the project that they come up with, especially when I was looking at the shareholders in XAI.
Yeah.
And if you notice there, Qatar Investment Authority is involved. You have Hussein Sejwani involved, Kingdom Holding Company, founded
Oman
by...
Oman also.
Prince
the latest one was Oman.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
So Oman Investment Authority too, and you have Kuwait Investment Authority, which in this case is completely left out. So it intrigues me that out of everything that they decide to join, it's this $30 billion AI infrastructure fund that not much about is disclosed. It does not even have a name.
It's just that when you look at all the names and then you see BlackRock in it, it's a very secretive project. The main details are very simple, that they will come together, sit together, and each one of them will try to find people who have money. And they'll accumulate $30 billion and start building data centers. That's the main, very easy words idea. It's not that easy. It's very complicated. But they will go to private equity firms. BlackRock, biggest, largest asset manager in the world. $1.4 trillion, I think, last estimates, assets under their management. Everyone will try to gather money from here and there, and this cohort, this whole setup, wants $30 billion to start off with, and then the $100 billion target is also there. So they're just building data centers. Literally everyone right now is trying to build some of the data centers, because I think that is going to be the next currency, data. Right now, we have digital assets, we have social platforms, content creators to an extent, the visibility that they have on their platforms, the eyes they have on their platforms, that is their currency. Eventually, data will be the currency. We saw that like nearly 5 or 10 years ago when data is one of the things that is the most important, like a part of every machine in the world right now. For example, what we're doing right now, this is also some kind of data which is being transferred over the internet, and someone is watching it in the form of video or listening in the form of audio. So data is like multiple places, and data right now is the cash, is the currency, because AI data centers need to store data. And if XAI is part of this project, they build a AI infrastructure, they can host their XAI data there. So it's when you go to the technicalities, you really understand, but on a surface level, everyone wants their own data center so they can have data at one place. I can give you an example of why this is important, but give me like 1 minute. I have a friend in Pakistan who actually worked in as an internet service provider. So one day I went to his place, he had a big office, and there was like servers and servers of boxes and small boxes, and I was like, and it had Facebook and Google written on it. And I looked at them and I was like, what is this? Why do you have so many of these weird boxes in your... He's like, Facebook, Google, they provide us with separate devices. So whenever your internet is slow, Facebook will never be slow. Google will never be slow. So even if you have the worst internet on the planet, these two websites, they go to literally local level ISP providers, internet service providers, and they give their own servers network. So their networks will never slow down, even if you have the world's worst internet. And I looked at it and I was like, okay, makes sense. And they give it to you for free. So now this is what data centers will eventually do. If you own a data center as XAI, OpenAI, whatever, you can literally have the best response time on ChatGPT, on XAI. So this is how it works.
That's really interesting, Majid.
Yeah, you go deeper, it's so crazy that you're like, how is this working? And as I told you, like one gigawatt needs at least $40 billion of investment. 5 gigawatts we're building at Stargate UAE, which is the largest outside of UAE, the biggest network. 40 into like $200 billion will go into just building it. And then the running cost every day of electricity, this, that. There's so much details in this.
So many details.
Sorry, before we go, if you're free on Eid and if you have 10, 15 minutes, there's a very long article. I just saw the headline. I was like, I have to read it someday on Bloomberg of the original Stargate project. I was confused that if they're starting Stargate UAE, why haven't they done anything on the original Stargate? They've actually started building it. And it's a May 20, I think, article. Just try to find it on some places if you don't want to pay for a Bloomberg subscription. But do read it. It shows you the whole with pictures. They have Sam Altman talking to them. They have Jensen Huang who talks to them. And then they have the actual guy who's the engineering like master planner of it. You'll love it. I haven't started reading it like past the 200 words, but I will read it. You guys can have a good Eve read if you're interested.
Happy holidays to all of you and Eid Mubarak. And that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for tuning into the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the August 5th Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms. You make this possible. If you're one of them, we appreciate you. Again, happy Eid, and we'll see you on Monday now.